Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 51 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Shelton Muller. How are you?
G'day, Bruce. We're one short of a deck of cards, aren't we?
So
the next one's bound to be the Joker. I'll have to think of something funny for the next one.
Okay.
And you're well?
I am, thank you.
Good to hear.
I've had a bit of a rough week. I've had a cold this week, but I'm sort of over the worst of it now, so...
I'm sure all our listeners at this very moment are sitting in their vehicles, on the trains, listening to the iPods at home going, "Oh, poor fella."
Yeah.
They probably don't think we get colds down here in Australia.
Yeah,
they probably think
exactly.
It's all sunny.
Sunny
and, yeah. And you live in Sydney. In Melbourne, man, it's even colder.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I hope you're feeling better soon.
Thank you, mate. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say hello to Rob Iverson, who has sent us some emails, and it's very, very nice to hear from you, Rob. Thanks for your kind comments about our podcasting. We really appreciate that. And Rob has some twins coming along on the way soon. So we all, I'm sure the entire photographic fraternity who listens to us here at Shutters Inc., wish you, congratulations on the impending, if not already happened, birth of your two new sons. Apparently. So what we all want to see, mate, is some pictures when they arrive. But nice to know that a fellow photographer is expecting some other good news as well. And thank you, too, for your questions. I hope my answers in the email were good. Keep me posted. This week, though, I thought what I'd talk about, Bruce, is interpreting.
Okay.
Because photography is a lot about interpretation. And if it isn't, our photographs tend to suffer. Even photographs that deal with facts are still about interpretation, and I'm not talking about the kind of interpretation that would falsify the facts. And that has been done. You know, photographs have excluded or included elements, or had elements included in them which make them look like something they're not.
Right.
But really, we're talking about taking something that is by itself perhaps interesting, by itself beautiful, but not necessarily going to be enhanced through the photographic process. I mean, the obvious subject matter for something like that would be a flower. In the latest issue of Total Image and Better Pictures magazines, we talk about flower photography. Flowers are beautiful things in themselves, and a lot of people love taking pictures of them. I find flower photographs quite boring, possibly because I'm not a big flower guy. You know, I don't even buy them for my wife. You know, and I could get so much mileage if I did. You know, I really could. But you know, I'm not. I appreciate them. I know they're beautiful, and I love to look at them. I marvel at their structure and their beauty. Beauty and their scent, but I don't photograph them. And I think it's because, and this is what I'm saying, it's a classic thing, that they're beautiful in themselves. And to just stick a frame around them and call that a beautiful photograph is not a process to me that interests me. The same with sunsets, you know, sunrises and sunsets. To me, they're beautiful in themselves. You know, a beautiful warm sun going down, over the horizon, casting colors over clouds and in the sky is beautiful in itself. It doesn't need me to stick a frame around it and call it a beautiful photograph. And if I did stick a frame around it and call it a beautiful photograph, I'd be lying. Because it really isn't. It's something that was beautiful in itself, and I just stuck a frame around it. I can't really call it my own. And so I think perhaps this is the art of seeing. And there's some great books on the art of seeing, but it's something that you really have to learn and develop within yourself so that in the end it becomes innate, that you look at something, you say, yes, it's beautiful, but what am I going to do with it to make it mine? When I put a frame around it, what difference will it make? Or does it actually limit the beauty, or does it, you know, enhance the beauty by the fact that I have isolated it, by putting a frame around it, by the fact that I have put it into, you know, a composition? So interpreting something that's already interesting, already beautiful, already worthy of you know, putting a frame around, to me is the key often to good photographs. And you know, we've already stated a couple of obvious things: flowers, sunsets, sunrises. So how do we do that? Interpreting something really means that you will see it your way. And if that isn't you, if you're not doing that, learn to do that. I look at some photographs of sunsets, sunrises, and flowers, and they absolutely blow my wig because of the way that they've been taken. Darren Leal, in his article in Total Image, and you can download Total Image soon, the entire PDF off the Total Image website, and read that article if you can't get hold of a copy. He talks about his techniques for, you know, photographing flowers, and he uses flash, and he'll place the sun behind them, he'll compose within the scene, he'll get underneath them, he'll do all sorts of things to make the image his. He loves photographing flowers. He's a very good natured photographer, our Darren Leal. Hell of a nice guy, too. So you can look him up, Darren Leal, on the website, on the internet. You know, he makes these great photographs. He doesn't just sort of point a camera at something and you know, call it a great photograph. He knows exactly what to do. So my thoughts are, use elements of composition. I took a photograph of a red flower once, and I'll send it to you. And I couldn't get close enough to it. But in the end, I didn't really want to. It was a red flower in a sea of green stems. Mm-hmm. And to me, I just love the photograph because it's simple. I could call it a photograph of a red flower, but really, it actually takes up very little space in the frame. Very little space in the frame. But because of my use of depth of field, because of the fact that it's green against, or red against green, which are two opposing colors, the fact that I've composed it in a, you know, sort of a golden mean style of
ratios.
Yep. Ratios. It forms an interesting image. Had I got closer, it would have been a completely different picture. It may not actually have worked. So these are things that we need to take into consideration when we're taking pictures. Light. How are you going to use the light in that subject to make it interesting? Light in a sunset or a sunrise, of course, is already a given. But let's look at that for a moment. We see a sunrise or a sunset, and is it the fact that the sun is setting or the sun is rising that is so beautiful, or is it the light that it casts? Usually, to be quite honest with you, I will, at sunrise or sunset, point away from the sunrise or the sunset and photograph something that light is hitting. And a classic example of that is a photo I took in Norfolk Island at sunset, and I photographed the sunlight hitting the trees. That was the main thing to me. That was the most beautiful thing. It was the warm light on the texture of the trees. So I didn't, you know, photograph an ocean and a sun going down and beautiful orange sky. I made more of it by saying, well, actually, there's some beautiful textures being caused by the light here, and I made the image my own. So sometimes we settle too quickly because something grabs us, as we've spoken many times on the podcast about. Something grabs us, we've got to photograph it, but we're not really in tune with what it is that's grabbed us. The flower might be beautiful, the sunset might be beautiful, but is that really what's grabbed you? Or have you been walking by this landscape at sunset and you see a group of rocks in the foreground and the way the light is hitting them and the shadows that are cast and the textures that are formed from the soft, warm light? Is that what's grabbing you? And to be honest with you, even if it isn't, include them in the photograph, because a sunset on its own is pretty boring. You need some foreground interest. You need something in the image to make the eye, you know, say, ooh, stop and look. And so it really is about interpretation. Foreground interest in a landscape, to me, is key to making that landscape work. It makes the eye follow through the scene so that you're seeing something in the foreground, a bush, a group of rocks, a flower bed, you know, a body of water. You'll go back to the mountains or the ocean in the background, and then up to a sky that might be beautiful, filled with beautiful white puffy clouds. But if you don't stop to look for those things and interpret beauty that already exists and make it your own, the photograph just simply can't work. It will be a lovely picture. People go, oh, isn't that nice? And it'll be a postcard postcard picture. But they're not going to say, wow, what a beautiful photograph. And if they do, you still have to ask yourself, can you claim the rights? You know, yeah. Can you say, I took this beautiful photograph? I've never been of the opinion that you can photograph a flower or a sunset and say that I took this beautiful picture. If you haven't interpreted that yourself, if you haven't put a frame around it your own way, the way that Shelton Mueller would, or Bruce Williams would, or Rob yeah. Iverson would, or, you know, David Elfring would, or any of our other, you know, listeners, it's got to be your picture.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do for our podcast this week is send a few images that we can look at on the web where, and Bruce, you might have some yourself, where mm-hmm. I've seen something beautiful, And I've said, yes, but this has got to be a picture by Shelton Mueller. So what am I going to do that makes this different, that makes this mine? How am I going to interpret this the way that Shelton Mueller would, so that when I show it to others or when I present it, even to myself, I can say, that's a great photograph that I took. Sure, the thing is beautiful or interesting, but I interpreted it my way so that I wasn't relying on its own innate and, you know, inbuilt beauty or interest. I created something again, aside from, different to, you know, in addition to the beauty and the interest that already existed within it. And I would only suggest to everybody, give that a try. Let's get away from just taking things for granted. Let's get away from that and just interpret and create images with our style and our vision, because that's really what makes us all unique as photographers and gives us our own sense of being as a photographer.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
And something that will aid you in your quest to be a little bit unique in your photography is having a GorillaPod.
Ah, I imagine it would.
And it just so happens that we've come to the end of our 4-week promotion with GorillaPod, and we've got 18 of these things to give away.
Is everybody listening?
I hope everyone is. Okay. So I'm just going to quickly run through the names of the people who have picked themselves up a GorillaPod. I will be in touch with my contact at Joby to organise the dispatch of these in the next week. So these people: William McCandless from the US, Robert Fisher from the US, Kane Simmons from Ireland, Steve Mayfield from the UK, Helen Julie from Australia, Richard Annable from Australia, Richard Bowen from Australia, Andrew Gungadu from the UK, Jan Polland from Germany. That's probably pronounced Yarn, actually. Tom Nevesley, I think it is, from Canada, Graham Anderson from Australia, Sebastian Bro from Canada, Holly Sisson from Canada, Gary Stamper from the US, Jeff Hankerson from the US, Michael Baxley from the US. Ah, look at this, Robert Iverson from the US.
Well done,
Robert. You'll be able to set that GorillaPod up there for the twins. They'll love it. And Clay Johnston from the US. So there we go. Terrific. There's the 18 people who have picked themselves up a GorillaPod. Thank you to the good folks at Joby for that.
And congratulations to everybody. I know so many of these names, it just goes to show the benefits of being interactive. I know so many of these names.
Yeah.
So many of you have been in touch, and congratulations to all. It's a great
and
little
by the way,
gear.
there was no playing favourites with the picking of those names. Like just to counteract what Shelton's saying there. It's not like we picked favourites or anything like that. That was
okay.
A purely random draw.
So we're not going to mention the $50 we were sent from each of these people.
No, mate, we won't mention.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'll shut up now.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll speak with you next week, Shelton.
Looking forward to it. And everybody, please keep up the emails. And I love it when you send me images, and I love it when you keep in touch, because that's what this podcast is about. It's not just about me, you know, gabbing on. It's about building our photography fraternity. Try saying that after a few years.
Oh, no, thank you. All right, mate. I'll talk with you next week.
Good on you, Bruce. Thanks, mate. Thanks to all. Bye.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotoyou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
audiotoyou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark
audiotoyou.com.